I'm just explaining that who is in a position to serve God or God in man, whom or whom he has his grace, sheds his grace. Nobody else can do the service under him, first of all. What is the criterion that it is he who wants her to serve him, he brings people nearer to him to serve him in his mission or at home in other affairs. You know who is attuned with Nam or the world power when God wishes it. Through whom in whatever human fold he is manifest. The manifest is God in him, gives the contact to the others with the world and now the controlling power which is already within him by withdrawing his attention from outside. Those people who have been initiated, it is through the grace of God alone that they have been initiated. So the very fact that a man is initiated, it is his grace that he wants the children to come to him. He gives them the contact through some human pole, that whose human pole is manifest, the God in him. So the greatest service is just to be attuned, to attune yourself to the Nam power within you, the light and sound principle, which is the way back to absolute God. Now the question arises, those who are taken direct in service under him to carry on the work in his mission are at home. He selects who the God in him. It is not man himself can do it. And those who have been selected to work in that mission, this is his grace. Everybody is not working in the mission. Nor everybody is brought in closer contact. This is his grace. When God wants anybody to come near him, he places him in a position where he can serve him direct, at home or in his mission. So this is his grace. So who can serve God as the God in man, whom he himself wishes? The criterion is that first, when he is given Dharma initiation, that is, with his grace only the man is given initiation. Those who have been given initiation, it means they are, God wishes them to bring them closer to him. First in soul, then outward. So for that he says every day we should put in time for meditation as much as we can, so that the inner master, the radiant form of the master may manifest to him. He may talk to him in heart to heart, get his guided time. This is one side. The other outer service is given only to such, those who are also selected by him. Those are given some work in the mission, other work he is carrying on. Others have brought us still closer to carry another work in his direct supervision, direct contact. This is all his grace that induces one to come near in him. And he gives. Those who have been selected for that purpose, they are most fortunate. Sometimes we are selected for that purpose, and the service that is given to us, we think perhaps we are the master of that. The little ego within us naturally asserts, it says, well, I am doing this. This is not service. The service of the master is to just carry on the work as master wishes, that is heart. By doing service at which the master is pleased, that service is alone can be called a service, truly service. Others are not service. Those are sometimes brought nearer to the master. In one way or the other, their ego asserts You say, oh, I am carrying on this and that thing. Even that assertion, result is that she is not sweet in all his appearances. He'll assert, then he will command. He doesn't think himself to be a puppet in the hands of the master. There should be selfless service always. So those who have been selected for the service of the master in one way or the other, to carry in his work here, anywhere, under his direct supervision, you see. Or those who have been selected to work quite nearer to him, more nearer to him, this is his grace, the God in him. So God, those people only can serve God or God in man whom God wishes. Those who have been selected, it means that the God's special grace on them. But what we do, you see, when you're brought together, we someday take it up as a business question for compensation in one way or the other. The result is that our master used to give one instance, just like when a calf, when it comes to the cow, you see, when it comes nearer the cow, just so all its milk, you know, let loose. Whereas those near, live near him, they just suck the blood on the, what you say, the milk outside, the bag of the milk in the cow, you see. They simply squeeze the blood, suck the blood, not the milk. They don't drink the milk. So it means what it is, if we want to serve the God in man or God, it can be done only through his grace. If he wishes, nobody else can do it. If one is brought in that connected, he has been selected to do like that, it means that God wishes him, it is his grace that he has been selected. When you are selected for one purpose, then do it joyously, quietly, lovingly, selflessly. Thank God that you have been selected for that job. You are brought in that arrangement to carry on the work. It is his grace. So first of all, he should be true to the master within him. When he sees it within me, he will always be afraid of not to do anything which is wrong, which is against his wishes, whether in his presence or in his absence. This is one thing. As he will go on like that, he will always thinking of the master. The result will be, as you think, so you become. By and by you will find that it is he who is working in me and not I. St. Paul says, it is Christ, it is I, it is not no I, it is Christ lives in me. It is the ultimate goal. Now the point is, who have been, those who are they who are selected for the carry on the work of the service under the master, whom the God has his gracious, I mean intention, grace, his grace there. See? Though they have selected, they should be thankful that they have given that service. They should carry it selflessly. Always thinking that he is serving the God in him, the God in man. Because he is who has just selected you for that purpose. So the criterion it is that you have been given initiation, then you have brought closer in a near circle, and then you are just given some job to do under the master. This is selection, this is a special grace. We should prove or derive full benefit. We should prove worthy of the job, you see, and also derive full benefit from the job we have been given. Only that we can do by doing selflessly, as a mere puppet in his hand, what he sees. So any service done with the will and pleasure of the master, in which there is no self-assertion, that bears fruit and performed. Those who have been selected for this service under him, it is special grace of God in them. They should be thankful for that. Otherwise, even by living nearer to the Master, after you said that they are fruitful. You simply go at once. So this was the subject today, that those who have been initiated by the God in man, this is with His grace only, and not knowing that. So he should develop that by observing regular precautions, restrictions, you see, so that he may dwell within, go within and meet the radiant form of the Master within, talk to him heart to heart. This is one side. And sometimes you are selected for a job. What is this job? To bring all children of God together. To prove yourself as an example to the other people. You see, an example is better than precept. You have been given one job. Do this job, please. In this mission, here or anywhere, or in the direct contact. So those who have been selected for that purpose, they are most fortunate. But they should perform those duties with no assertion of ego in them, just to please the Master. Selfless and no compensation in return. It is for him to give what he wishes, which is what man is fit for, and what he thinks best for him. So when you do service of such a God in man, naturally, you the compensator, what compensation you can give, he will bring you back first for the outer world, then unite him with God forever. This is the criterion to know those who are brought to quite in closer contact. They are more fascinating. So if the God in man wishes, you see, he doesn't love each one of you. He wishes good of yours, then I think it is God that wishes good of you. So you know, follow what is what, you see. Those who are initiated, it is special grace of God. The purpose is our soul must go back to receive, to the lap of the Father, through the light and sound principle which emanates from the Absolute God. The other is when he is selected for some job, that is his special grace further on the man to carry on the work. So those who want to just bring him just nearer to him, he gives him some job to do. He gives him some duty to perform. If he does it selflessly with no ego within it, that bears for fruit. You see. When he sees that everything goes on according to my will and pleasure, then naturally you are one with him. You have got no will of your own. His will is your will, and his will is God's will within it. That's all. So be thankful, each one of you who have been initiated first. That will be given a way back to Absolute God. One thing, when he has selected you for some particular duty or something, you are still more fortunate. But perform it with full faith, devotion and selflessness. He will give you what? He will give you his own place. Then you went down. Sixth Guru, Guru Hargobind. So he asked somebody to recite Japji, that is one part of the Guru Granth, or the Sikh literature, you see. He said, who recites this particular part of the literature with one single-minded attention, he give him what he likes. But sensei, without any single-minded, with no other attention, intention or any thought coming in, including with him. So one man started, you see, came here. He began to recite that, the verses of Japji. When he went on single-mindedness, when he reached to the end, you see, he thought it very beautiful. Horse has come to the Master, if he gives me that. You see, quite at the close of the that are the scriptures, that part of the scripture, that he just woke up, and the master gave him, let you have that thought. And he told him, look here, had you not wanted this, I would have given my seat. You follow me? Those who do selflessly, with single-minded attention, he wants everyone be to his own self, you see, bring you to one with himself. Those who want something, that isn't given, of course, but the selfless servants of Master is the highest. I mean, good fortune, I would say. But who does it? Whom God wishes, such a grace. So you are fortunate who have been initiated, first of all. Those who have been selected for the job under this, for his mission or direct contact, they are still more fortunate. But mind that, that should be selfless. There should be no assertion of self. I am there. For this little thing, you see, you simply, instead of deriving good, full good, you derive very little good or no good. So be thankful that you have been given education and you have been selected, though they have been selected for their particular purpose of carrying on his mission or expanding his mission, that is, they are still more fortunate. Those who desire full benefit, sometimes doing service, we think we are above the master. You may be as good as the master, that's another thing. You cannot be above the master. In the assertion of yourself, we sometimes go so far. The result is, it doesn't derive full benefit. We may be as good as master, that's all right. We cannot be above master. Servant is servant, the Lord is Lord. If he doesn't accept him for his service, then can you force him? That's one of the reasons why even by having initiation we do not derive the full benefit of what we want. Even by living closer to the master, even then we don't derive the full benefit. But it is for him to select, to give whatever he likes best, you see. He was just reading, you see, something about righteousness, you see. Saint Augustine was asked, what he wanted? To know God. It was Zoroaster, I mean, not Saint Augustine. He said, righteousness. The people asked him, what is it? What define righteousness? What is righteousness? He said, good thoughts, good words and good deeds. The whole thing depends on your attention, or soul, to what is called, you see, which is the outward expression of soul. Wherever you keep it engaged, attached, always those very thoughts will be reverberating within you. We have to make the best use of the things, of course, but we are not to be attached. If only we can just attach our soul to something higher within us, that is within us. But if our attention is just diverted to the outgoing faculties, so much so that it becomes identified with the outer things, what is the result? You cannot withdraw your attention from there. It's the whole question of attention or thought. Either you keep it away in outside things or inward and attach it to you, your own self. So for that you see we are driven away outside to the outgoing faculties. Audition, hearing, smelling, taste and touch. It's the five outgoing faculties working through five physical outgoing outlets. So all that these are withdrawn from outside, are closed, not to receive any impression from outside through these outgoing faculties. Only then you can have some awareness of your own self, and also you can contact the higher self within you. That is God within you, the light itself within you. So what is righteousness? Not to be attached to outside, but to make the best use of all outer things. You not to leave the world, of course, but you have to make the best use of this outer thing. So you go to a garden, you enjoy it, all flowers, all plantations, woods, I mean meadows. Enjoy it the whole day. Nobody will question you. But the very moment you just cut the flowers, or anything do like that, then the God in charge will take you to task and put it to jail, you see, police force. So we are here to make the best use of all outer things, but not to be attached. Make these things as stepping stones to reach your higher self, you see. If you are addicted or given up, become identified with any enjoyment outside, so much so that you cannot even withdraw from that, then that is what would be the result. How can you invert and have that contact within you, with God, which is given at the time of initiation? So this outer faculty should be under our control. Whenever we like, we may make the best use of them. If not, they should not drag us away. So it is the master, if you obey him literally, then he will make you the master of your own home. The outer faculties should serve as your servants, not as your masters. Now they drag you away, whether you wish it or not. So whatever you do, 1 day, 2 days, 10 days, a month or two, naturally that becomes habit. Habit is strengthened into nature. And that you want to go somewhere else and you are attached somewhere, your mind goes that way, your feet may be going the other way. So you follow what is needed. The God is within you. Unless you withdraw from your outside, how can you contact? So if you are attached to outside things, you cannot withdraw from outside. So you go out of this building. You are the same. When you leave this body, you are not changed, you see. You are what you are now. After leaving the body, you cannot become a learned man. You are attached here, even now while you live in the world, you are attached. All of your attention over there. Where will you go? Where you are attached? When you leave the body, then where will you go? Where you are attached? So, where should we attach ourselves? Soul is a conscious entity. It should be attached to the old self, all consciousness. Even in life, then when you remain in the world, even then you won't be attached to the world. You will be in the world, yet out of it. When you leave the body, you will go to the feet of the Lord. That's all. So we must have control on all our outward faculties. We should be able to use it when we require, not dragged outside. So for that reason, this diary is unintended. There's nothing more like that. You must know where you are attached. So you are given some contact within with the grace of God. You see light of God within you. You have the sound principle. That is more attractive, of course, when you have turned your whole attention to that. That will just like touchstone that will drag you. But when that very thing you see attached outside, how can even those who are given a gift of contact with the Lord within, if they don't care for keeping their self-restraint, I would say. First it is required self-restraint. And the other is only then you can have some control over yourself and then direct your attention wherever you like. So first thing is to see our laws, but true living is still our truth. Ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. remain where you are. You must judge yourself where you before and where you are now. You find some of the initiates make progress too. But they don't keep their direct self into affection. The result is they leave off their practices and they are attached to outside things, one or the other. The result is slowly that is what he sees before, that is all stuff. But in the eyes of him, he is very saint. But within his own self, he is just, what you say, not true to one's own self, not to the God within him. What is he done? He weeps inside, but in the eyes of him, he is a very good man. Really, he is not. But the God sees within us what he is. This is most necessary, as I told you. Our life should be of self-restraint, good character. You see, love God. God is within all, love all humanity. For the sake of the love of God, you love all others. If you forget the Lord, then you are attached. Where will you go? Where you are attached. Now you see how important it is to remain of self-restraint. Make use of anything when he wants it. Now we are dragged. You see? Irresistibly to outright sense. You have to live in the world and quite detached. When you want to use one faculty, use it, then when you live it. It is not so with us now. For that purpose we are given contact within with the light and sound principle within us. When you get more bliss there, let your outer attachments are cut off. Apparently you may be living in the world, eating, drinking, this and that, but you are not attached to the world. You are only making the best use of the world. Just as a man when he goes to the garden, he enjoys it. When he returns, if he wants, any time. So similarly you will find it is most important to have such a heart which is tied to God, not to the world. If you take poison, now the Master used to say poison, that creates trouble within us. He cries, you see. But what he used to say, he should stop eating any more poison, so that the other may be clear. But he cries, all the same he continues taking more poison. What do you mean? This poison comes through the outgoing faculty from outside. We receive impressions from outside through eyes, through ears, through the tongue, through smelling, through touch. So we must have a life of self-restraint. Only such a man can progress from day to day. By regularity, you see, and also by self-introspection. It's most important. The very soul, the outer expression of which is called conscious attention, our soul, if that is the nature outside, how can you see within? No, I cannot see. That's too bad. If I have too much attached, okay, how can I would not dare and even care to look at the back, you see? Unless I turn my face from this and look the other, only then I can see them. So same thing is, if we invert our attention within, only then we can see. It is there already waiting for us. Those who are initiated, they are given something, some capital to start with. By regular practice and self-introspection, self-restraint, we have to develop it more and more from day to day. When you get more bliss there, naturally in the world you remain, but you are not attached. So we should see where we stand, where we stood before, 2 years back, or a year back, where we now stand. Generally, we see that we are better before, not now. Why? We should progress. So I've seen some initiates, they have made some progress, but still they have dwindled back. Only for the decision. So one must be true to one's own self. The God is within you. The Guru or the Master power is within you.
Good morning and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was from two morning talks. The first was The True Service of God or God in Man, given on November 23, 1967. The second was Righteousness, Detachment, and Self-Restraint, which was given on November 24, 1967 at Salon Ashram. Our reader this morning is Pradeep Sethi. Hi, Pradeep.
Good morning, everybody. We are continuing to read from the question and answer sessions from The Light of Kirpal. We had stopped midway through chapter 47, titled Attitude for Spreading the Teachings. Question: if someone neglects his responsibility, for instance, of in giving out the teachings, well, it's not my business, but it is better to tell something once or to ignore the situation. Master, tell him privately, politely, in a friendly way, "Well, dear friend, I think you are not in the full know of things." Devotee, "He does good work for you." Master, "He does good work all the same. Once somebody wrote to me, 'Is this work as good as doing meditation?' I told him, 'No, it is next to meditation. You see, your own house is on fire, and you are going to put out the fire for others? How will they believe you? They will look at the example you set before them. Give bread to your life, your soul first. On spiritual health depends the life of mind and body both. When you've come to know something good, give it to your friends. Tell them, at least point it out, meditation first is very good, and then go out slowly. Don't neglect your general life." This is why, in so many cases, group leaders have less experience than the other initiates. Devotee, "I thought that only if non-initiates ask questions concerning the path should we come out and speak." Master, "Look here. Just give an inkling to anybody who comes to you. If he's really after it, he will be after you. If once or twice you give some inkling, hint on that point, and he does not express interest, be quiet. You have not taken a contract to bring others around. Tell them the truth is available. That much you are to do. If you have yourself received very good things, would you not like your friends to also have them? Wouldn't you like that for those whom you love? Naturally, and to those others who come in contact with you, just give an inkling. Tell them, you have developed physically, intellectually. What about spiritually? The Bible speaks about the Word as the bread of life, the Christ power working in the human pole of Jesus. That power never dies. Some inkling should be given. If they are after it, they might be seeking. If not, then keep quiet." Devotee, "Sometimes it's been unclear to me how much to act as a missionary. That's even been suggested, and how much to do service and then work on yourself." Master, "As I told you, you are hungry yourself. How can you appease the hunger of others? That's the first thing. Your whole house is on fire, and you're going to help others? Strange missionary you are. First, you must be confident. As I told you, if you are not confident, why did you come to me? My point is, I see you are on the right path. Don't be afraid that this is not so. I'm only telling you. When you yourself are not confident, how can you tell others with confidence? This is like this. This is like that. You go on with your work also, then tell them. Devotee, when I try to give an inkling to other people, my ego gets involved. And then I go on talking and they don't even care. I get trapped. I get caught. Master, caught? If you are confident yourself and you see for yourself what is what, then you will not be caught. It is only when you don't see for your own self that you get trapped, as you say. Tell your friends, not everybody. I quoted only those words from Christ. What you learned in secret, go speak from the housetops. He said he was sending his disciples amidst the vipers, snakes, poisonous snakes. Go and preach there. That is what he told them. Did he not? Buddha also said, all right, go and tell them. Your duty is to tell them. Those who are after it will take it up. Don't take the contract of changing others. You simply tell them. If it appeals to them, they'll come up. Devotee, since I've come to the path, I have had to tell a lot of people of it, but I don't think any of them have come to follow it. Master, that is why I say you must be confident of what you say. When you see the theory is the same as the Bible, and the practice is also the same to some extent, then you must be confident. So that much is sure, you have not become saints. You have not yet reached the highest degree. Some have reached the primary class, some have reached the middle, some have reached the college class. You know something, but not everything. So don't be after taking the contract of changing others. But you can give an inkling of what you know to others who may be searching. The next chapter, a faith in Master. Devotee, some people, Master, no, don't talk of anyone else, please. Don't be a spokesman for others. Speak on your own path. Devotee, my own path is I can't feel perfectly sure in the Master. Master, that's all right. Devotee, whereas other people seem to be able to. Master, others who seem to be sure in the Master might have had some inkling of who he is, if they are devoted. Naturally, the devoted have got more. Some gift has been given, even to those who are not devoted, but they have not utilized it. Those who have become receptive can say more. Those who have not become receptive will surely not talk in the same words as those who have developed receptivity. You see, one third of Master's teaching is given by word of mouth, a gift given, and two thirds comes from receptivity. You are wanting there. Some have more experience than others. The same Christ darshan was given to Judas Iscariot and other disciples, yet Judas Iscariot betrayed him. That was the difference between their receptivity. When he asked, do you know who I am? Some said, you are the son of a carpenter, such and such, such and such. And Simon said, you are the living son of God. Then Christ said, it is not you who has said this, it is my Father in you who has revealed these things to you. It is the opening of awareness on the inner level where the difference is made. Some see he is God walking on earth in man body because they have developed receptivity. Others say no, but there's no doubt about it. Do you see some light? Questioner affirms, you may not recognize him fully as Master, maybe half, quarter, maybe more than you, but in this line, he knows more than you. You may not be 100% sure that he is the master, maybe only 10%, but at least he knows more than you about this way. You got something, then develop receptivity to know more, that's all. Hafiz says, if you want to meet God, leave everything and go to the wilderness. But there was another imbued with the Lord who said, why do you run away? God is standing before you. His inner receptivity was developed. He said God is standing before him in the man body. The difference remains in receptivity. Simon said, you are the living Son of God. Is it not so? He was receptive. He knew from here in the man body, he could see that it was God who was manifest in Jesus. Yet another disciple, Iscariot, betrayed him. So that difference will yet remain. Even if others speak with surety, don't take it 100%. Develop yourself. You see for your own self. Live up to what you are told to do. Keep your diary, put in regular time, and you'll develop. You might then see more than others if you're regular. There's hope for everybody. Always come with an open mind. Everything can be said, you see. One who knows better, sees better, and is more receptive. Then, naturally, there's a vast difference between his statements and the statements from one who doesn't see. Always bring your thoughts to me. Never be afraid of me. I'm a man like you. Come with any difficulty, with no reservations. Man learns and unlearns all through life. You must at least take him as your elder brother, knowing more than you. Take him as a father, elder brother, a friend, at least, and nothing more, and live up to what he says. I never told you to take me as God. Did I tell anyone? Not even in my books. You people defame me, I would say, if you tell others that I said I am God in man. When you see, you may say. Even then I say, it is not due to me, it is but my master within me. It is his grace working. Whenever you do something, don't do it half-heartedly. Do it wholeheartedly, then you'll succeed. One thing, as I told you, we have got no definite ideal before us. Most of us have decided nothing so far. It took me more than 10 days, day and night, to decide. God first and world next. You decide. If you decide world first, all right, you'll progress in the worldly way. Do it, but don't be like a pendulum of a watch, sometimes here, sometimes there. Oscillating won't do. There's hope for everybody. Those who have reached say so. They have seen God is there. So Simon said, you are the living Son of God. That was due to his receptivity. Develop more and more. He never tells you to take him as more than a son of man. He comes to you, man to man, as a son of a man first. When you go within, he comes to you as a radiant man, still further as a word man. These are stages. When we have to talk to the primary man, we are to talk from his level, not from the college level. So be regular in your meditations, keep your diary, develop more and more from day to day. Once somebody asked me about my master when I first went to him, how do you take your master? How high is he? I told him I don't know how high he is, but that much I know. He is more than I wanted. Truthful things, you see, he is far more than I wanted. That's how you can take him in the beginning. Can you not? And I now see it is God working within him, and that is his grace. start from the level of man, God will help you. This is something explained only up to the eye level, a little beyond. What to speak of astral, causal, and beyond? Those things that are now explained to the college man, such as trigonometry, if taught to the third primary child, would not be understood. As you grow more and more, you begin to understand more and more. But ABC starts only when you rise above body consciousness. Take him as a man, a senior man, as a brother, as a father, as anybody who knows a little bit more than you. Can you not take him as that much? Shams Tabriz at one place says, O people, you are going for a pilgrimage. Where are you going? Pilgrimage is here, eye center. You see? Where are you going? Come up, pilgrimage is here. True pilgrimage is to go to God and see. Unless you have seen Him, it is not real pilgrimage. Until you have seen Him, the pilgrimage is to go somewhere where He is manifest. So, the real pilgrimage is within you. The company of someone who has developed will help to give you a boost to go within, have your first-hand pilgrimage, and to come in contact with Him. So, regularity pays. God will bless you. God will bless everybody. Please try. God will help you. The next chapter. Have you heard me? The following was written, translated question from a German man. Question: since I don't speak English, would it be better if I stayed in my room and meditate instead of coming down to for darshan? Master: if you sit by fire formed by a charged body, will it not give more effect than thinking of how the fire is ignited and burned and how the body can be charged by electricity? For instance, I see you or you see me. I see here, there, everywhere, but where the attention is receptive, there one gets more. When you look to anybody fully receptive, even forgetting yourself, that is darshan. Such like darshan gives you more effect, more charging than hundreds of meditation. In Punjabi, there are two words. One is to do darshan, and one is to be absorbed in darshan. So, become receptive, and when you look, you'll forget all outer forms. Eyes speak to eyes. That is one lyrical glance of a God-intoxicated man will give you more effect than hundreds of meditations. Men have seen saints, masters. I think you remember Judas Iscariot saw Jesus, and Simon also saw Jesus. They both had his darshan. There was a vast difference in receptivity, was there not? Judas Iscariot is the one who betrayed him. There's a difference between darshan and person. You see, do you follow me now? Daily, he used to give each man darshan, even eat with him. When you become receptive, you are charged. When a charged body touches you, you become charged, do you not? Or if you pass near a man besmeared with perfume, don't you get the scent of perfume? So, this is what is meant by darshan. Maulana Rumi has said, it is as if you sit in your meditation, your body is sitting, but you've not yet fully developed into the beyond. That will take time. Take another example. If you put 1 gross of matchbox into an oven, will they give any heat? But if you put 1 ignited match to them, all of the matches will set aflame. Atmospheric effect, you see? The physical attendance or presence of the master cannot be underrated. But you can have the same effect at hundreds of miles if you become receptive. Fully receptive, not before. This is one thing. Now, another thing, you were there in your homes. You have spent so many thousands of rupees to come here. What you get in your morning or night talks, did you get in books? Although they are written in the books, you get something additional. You sit in the charged atmosphere of the master. That very charged atmosphere resounds. You must have felt that here in the room. This you cannot have by reading books. Do you follow me? Devotee, during meditation, besides repeating Simran, is it all right to think of the master? Master, can you do two things at one time? No. Before sitting in meditation, you may pray or sing some hymn, maybe of love for the master or separation or hankering. That will create an atmosphere which will help you in your meditation. Don't sit like a wrestler to find him or catch him. Sit in a respectful mood with a humble prayer. That creates an atmosphere in which you can have better effects. One thing more, if you think of or visualize any man of your own category or lower than you, you'll be able to visualize him all at once. But you cannot fully visualize the one who is higher than you. You may think of the turban, you may think of the back going by, and your mind is roaming from place to place where you saw the master. Do you follow my point? I asked my master this question a month or so after I was initiated. When a man is cut off from outside and he has not found masters from within, then what should he do? The master replied, look here, you think of the animals, your friends, your mother, your relations. Is a saint not more than that? You think of him also. This was one general question. Then later on he told me, look here, if somebody is sitting in your room and you come in from outside, whether you visualize him or not, when you enter, you will find him there. So, when the master initiates, his astral form resides with the initiate from that very moment. Enter within, find him. He is waiting for you. Try to go within, that's all. He is anxiously waiting for you, but the child is playing outside. So, just withdraw within, you will find him. You'll find this to be true at the time of initiation, given here or anywhere. This time, you know, out of 630, there were about 250 who saw the master within. At times, some do also see him outside. So he resides within you at the time of initiation. When Baba Jaimal Singh, master of our master, initiated somebody, he used to tell him, well, look here, now I am residing in you. Don't do anything unbecoming. I am seeing. He sees your every action when once you are initiated. Devotee, should a satsangi pay attention in his choice of place for meditation with regard to the people who resided there before? Will their vibrations leave any effect? Master, any place is always charged by atmosphere of those people residing therein. You are sitting here, sometimes you find resounding, charging here. I remember when my master went to Lahore, there was a room in which he sat and talked. I locked that room. Any man who entered heard the atmosphere resounding. I used to go, so any place is charged by the one who is residing there. All remaining atmospheric effects, either good or wrong, will affect you. In some places, you will feel very inconvenient. You'll feel burned out like anything. The atmosphere is charged. Sometimes you feel, let me commit something wrong. That atmosphere is charged like that. What to do? That's the question. Suppose, for example, a prostitute was living in some house. Don't use that place if it becomes vacant, or if some butcher who butchers animals is living in some place. Don't use that place. The pity is we are not aware that each man has his own atmosphere charging. So just sit in whatever house you're in and pray. This is the general system. Just start with any of your rituals, saying some scriptures, doing one sort of prayer or another, or saying some hymn to create a good atmosphere. This is one suggestion. And the other suggestion is, if you have any place, just reserve some room or portion of the room for meditation. Let nobody enter that room with any thought other than the love of God or the Master. That place will be charged. And whenever you enter, you'll find it resounding. When you are developed yourself with the higher charging, then Hafiz says, when the night sets in, my minstrel comes in playing music unpaid. Devotee, I like eating very much. Everyone chuckles, but Master stops them, saying, No, it is a question for all, not one, everyone, most of us are doing it. But I don't want to think so often of eating. However, since I manage a vegetarian kitchen, my profession draws my mind there. Would another job help resolve this? Master, I think I've told you so many times, do one thing at a time, wholly and solely. When you are in the kitchen, be there, doing your job. Take only food that agrees with you and only as much as you need. Let one half of your stomach be filled with food, one fourth be filled with water, and one fourth left vacant. The best criterion is to leave the table when you are still hungry. Eat a morsel less than you need. Have control over the past. No need of changing your profession. It will be all right if you behave like that. Satsangi, when new Satsangis read your writings, they want to become perfect at once, but they don't weed out their imperfections. They repress them. Master, look here. Rome was not built in a day. Rome was not built in a day. A wrestler cannot become a wrestler in one day. Time factor is necessary. Devotee, but we forget this often. Master, you must fill your diaries for that purpose. That is a hard task, Master, over your head. Every moment, I think I have told you, when I was just reading in third primary, I heard one man giving a fluent talk. I looked into his mouth, from where is he reading? I tell you, my ignorance. I wondered how he spoke, from where he read, and now I find it not difficult. So, time factor is necessary. He did not become perfect in one day. Food does not give strength unless it is digested. Ruminating over books won't do. Reading, digest, and then live. Read, just see what you have followed, understood. That also won't do unless you live up to what you have read and understood. You cannot become a master the very first day. Every saint has his past and every sinner a future. There's hope for everybody. I used to read scriptures, six scriptures, but I read only one hymn, not one page or 200 or 10 hymns, only one, and I put it into writing. This is today's lesson, and the whole day was given up to this. Then only you'll understand the meaning, but that also won't do unless you live up to that lesson. Lord Krishna gave the whole teaching of the Gita to Arjuna, and he even showed him his astral form. With all that, last of all he asked, well, Arjuna, have you heard? There is a difference between hearing and hearing with full attention. If so, how much have your doubts been cleared? Lord Krishna gave his teachings in Gita, which is in 18 chapters. there are very long talks on every subject. Yet, with all that, at the last moment, have you heard me? Are you hearing me? That's the difference between hearing with attention and without attention. Without attention, you don't remember what I have heard. Have you heard me? He asked Arjuna. We don't even remember what we ruminate over. So, understand what I have now told you about the question you have asked? Have you heard? Devotee, yes. Master, then live up to that. Have no more questions like that in future. Live according to what was said, and the food which is digested gives you strength, and which is not digested gives vomiting, motions, pain in the stomach. You will have trouble from that indigestion. And that brings me to the end of my time. We started reading from Light of Kripal, Question and Answer Sessions, Chapter 47, Attitude for Spreading the Teachings, and then moved on to Chapter 48, Faith in the Master. And with His grace, we also completed Chapter 49, Have You Heard Me? Thank you, everybody, for listening, and thank you, Master, for bringing us all together to your feet.
And thank you, Pradeep, for reading Master's wonderful words. There were 80 participants at this morning's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for bringing us together to receive your loving guidance and blessings.
So Master's come to tell us, they address us either as a man, from the level of a man, O man, awake, or from the level of the soul, conscious being, O children of light, awake, you are asleep.